There are several things that I wanted to mention, but one of the things was, I was looking at 1 Corinthians a while back, and then looking at 1 Corinthians 16 or 15, no, 16, 13. So I decided to kind of make my study theme is this. And it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which you like men, be strong. Now, to stand up generally means to stay in place or stay put. And certainly, that's what the Lord wants us to do. And I'm thinking back about those that I've met that are in places where they're alone and where they don't have anyone to study with or don't have anybody to kind of bounce things off of like we do. And we're certainly privileged in that aspect that we can bounce it off of each other and to see if we're going in the right direction that way. We're to be stationary. That was the thing that we found out about in putting on the whole armor of God, that to be able to stand, to hold our ground. But 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men. Be strong. Well, quit, there is a word that usually means to cease or stop in my idea of things, but when you quit like a man, it means you act in the order of a man. You act like God would want you to act, to be strong. Act manly. Don't look like at times that you're there and let the devil get the best of you, because we're sealed from that. Should be. Those of us that have understood that they've been chosen since before the foundation of the world, God has known us a long time. And so having been sealed, that we read about in Ephesians early, we realize that that sealing, it takes some of that away, but it doesn't take everything away, because Brother Mike just made mention of lots of things that can still beset mankind. We never get away from that as long as we have the old man with us. Be strong to act manly or face to face as we deal with other human beings. And so I took the 1 Corinthians thing as being the theme. And I made some notes, and we'll do that. And then I want to go to look at Joshua, the book of Joshua. But in my notes, thinking about these things, I put scripture time after time testifies of itself in every dispensation. And structure bears this out throughout the pages of God's word. And if you don't have a companion Bible that gives you that structure, you're kind of cheating yourself in that situation, because that is something that's really, really needs to be understood. And then in it, or its history, it also gives us the methods that God uses for replacements of men that God has chosen. And one of the best ones that I could think of he had chosen Moses for part of his plan and purpose for this creation. And when Moses died, not having gone into the promised land, there was still work to be done. And so he chose Joshua. And Joshua was chosen by God according to Joshua 3:7. And we'll go there and look at that as we begin with our other, with our study in Joshua. And he said he'd be with him in his service like he was with Moses as leader of Israel. And we know that God sets standards and he sets limits upon all his creation. It deals with laws and rules and boundaries and time and power and also the creatures upon the earth are his, the ones that he created to be here at this place. And if you go beyond those limits, and I think that's what Satan did, certainly that he had gone beyond the limit that God had chose for him to be the cherub that covereth or whatever. He felt like he was more than that. I think he was the go-between between the angelic order and God's himself, or the three that make up the Godhead. And he wanted to be part of that. And he wanted to take the Son's place. He wanted to be like the Most High. And that gets you into another study. And another study is the five wills of Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Because it said that he said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And all these pertain to what God had given to his Son to take care of. So we realize that he wanted to be more than God had set him up to be. That don't work out too well. And it didn't with Satan. And certainly, we understand too that the Lord has made, vows or promises or desires or wills to mankind. And in his I wills, because if you look in scripture, it is full of the I will. Some of them are cooperative, or some of them said, well, if you will, I will do something. And then some of them, it's I will whether you do it or not. That's the love of God. And that shows who he is and how he operates. And so we understand that as being the owner and the creator. And of course, this is our example today. There are two things that he has the right, the opportunity to replace those that didn't complete the plan and purpose of God. And he also has, the right, to give us an example. And we're living now and seeing these examples in scripture, that we cannot get away from, because we are under a God that knows all and he sees all, and no one can hide from God. And that is going to be shown, I think, in my little demonstration whenever we get into our scripture. Now, with the standing up situation there, there's 276 times in scripture that the word stand fast or stand up or just stand is put in there. And there seems to be ample evidence in scripture to indicate that God does not want men, especially those that have been chosen for his work, those that God chose out to do his will and to tell what, speak for him, to tell the people what he wanted them to know. And, he didn't want any under any circumstances nor in any way to be groveling prostrate or down in dust and ashes, because that's where we find lots of times in the Old Testament, we find that men would rent their clothes and get involved in the sackcloth and the ashes thing. And that's a sign of dishonor. It's a sign of disgrace, and it's a sign that you have been beaten. And God doesn't want any one of his speakers that speak for him, and I think that would include us even in this age and day, to be that way, but rather to stand up and quit like a man. Act like who you should be. And not to argue about situations, but to come to some sort, if possible, of an agreement to reach that the will of God is important and it needs to be carried out by all. This includes, but is more than the idea of physical standing. Added to this, consider the thought that they were no chairs. They were no pews. There was no place to sit in God's temple or in the holiest of all to minister sacrifices or offerings. There was no soft pews. There was no warm pews, as you find in buildings today where people go to supposedly worship God. But in the temple, there weren't any sitting places. People stood, and it was meant that they would stand. And when you're talking about men and men standing, I think about the four principles. Names for man. And it must be carefully disseminated in Holy Writ, because there's four words there that needs to be seen and understood. There, number one, Adam, denotes his origin as being made from the dust of the Adamah, or the ground, or of judgment. And he is known as a human being, and his children are known as generally as low. And then you have number two, as an Ish. And that issue there is regarding to sex, and it is generally a male. Now, Isha, if you add the A-H on the end of that ish, It is the woman. And of course, the first woman was Genesis 2:2 or 22. I'm sorry. And then the third one, and the children of an Ish is called high children. They are, I don't know how you put it, somewhat different, but Moses was like that because they said that he was different. And it was understood by, not even by his own parents that hit him in the basket in the river, but by the Egyptian woman that was, found him, that, he was different. Mm-hmm. And so evidently that there's some regards as to that part of that thing. Then you have the word Enosh, and it has regards to his infirmities, whether these infirmities are physical, mental, or whatever, and as to character, bad. So when you see where Enosh is used there, that the person is usually not sound in mind, body, and spirit. Either one or all of the three. And then you have the word Gerber. And Gerber is one who has respect as to his strength. He's a mighty man with power. And so with those four, I would ask you to turn with me back to Joshua. And let's look at Joshua 3:7 for just a minute. I believe it was 3:7. Yeah. Joshua 3:7 says this. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. This is a vow. This is a promise. I will be with thee. Okay. They were, think about this. They had made it to the Jordan River. And some of the tribes, or what is it, 2.5 tribes, I believe, stayed on one side of the river. They didn't cross over into the promised land. But in crossing over into the promised land, after their 40-year march now, in crossing over, God had promised them land, to give them land that they would have to go over and take it. And they would have to utterly destroy the people that were there, and they would get the land that was flowing with milk and honey. So they would have houses or abodes, and they would have animals. They would have whatever it was they needed there, and they were going to get it. And so the first test come up with Jericho. And there was a city there that was a wall city. It was a Kirjath. In the Old Testament, it talks about the wall cities being Kirjaths. And when you see Kirjath before the city name, you know that it was a wall city of. Yep. And so we have that. To deal with. And so he says, I will magnify. So let's go to Joshua 6 and let's look at, 17, 18, and 19 of Joshua 6. Joshua 6 says, 17 says this, and the city shall be accursed even it and all that are therein to the Lord only, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. So it was kind of an ordinary thing to do, to send out a spy out the land that you were going to take. And so they sent spies down there, and the spies were in this walled city, and Rahab hid them, and then they sent people off looking for them, thinking that they had gone somewhere, and she waited till everything got clear, and so they promised her that the Lord would take care of her. Verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. Now this was what was told to the people that were going there to fight Jericho. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing. You make yourself accursed, and that you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So God had made it known that this city was an accursed thing, and that if you took anything for yourself, it would be bad. Absolutely. And it said, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So that was what they had been told, I guess, by Joshua through the dealings with God, that was something they weren't supposed to do. And remember, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've come out of the wilderness now, and this is their first big test. And this test is going to be an example for the rest of the battles that they're going to have to fight. And God had told Joshua, said, tell them about the accursed part. Do not get involved in taking anything for yourself, but put it in the treasury of God. So we get to the 7th chapter, Joshua 7:1. And you get a list of names here. Said the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Uh-oh. Something went wrong already. For Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, how did he show this? How was he going to work this? He's got this young man now that's took Moses' place. And so they need to be shown that problem. They need to be shown the way out of it. It says in verse 2, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which was a smaller place, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country, or, you know, to spy it out. Go up to view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, oh, let not all the people go up. We don't have to have everybody going up there, because they had young men out of every tribe of Israel to fight these battles. And they had a lot of them because they didn't have many older persons, because the older people got swallowed up and all of the things going on in their 40-year journey. And I don't know how they got the equipment to fight a war with after being in the wilderness for 40 years. It's hard for me to know, but I guess it's not for me to know, because I don't know how they did it. But they did. But said they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let all the people go up, but about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but a few. So this was what the spies come back and told them. So he went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men and men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. So they lost 36 men, but they lost a little more than that. It said, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So they turned tail and run, God's people.
Kind of demoralizing there.
Got very demoralized. They had lost confidence. Yeah. And here was a young man now in charge of them. And so his thought was this. Joshua rent his clothes and he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we have been content to dwell on the other side of Jordan. That was kind of the same answer that Moses got whenever they brought him through the Red Sea onto the other side. Whenever they got started on their journey into the wilderness, they said, oh, we just soon stayed in Egypt. You know, we're out here, we're going to be dead. So you see, there's not a lot of difference in that. And verse 8 says, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ around and cut off our names from the earth. And what wilt thou do? What will that do to thy great name? Joshua was in a pickle here. He's caught between God and somebody that didn't do what they were supposed to do. When you're the boss or you're the leader, that's the kind of situations that you get in. Verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore thou allowest thou thus upon thy face. And Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accused things. Now they already had been told that would happen if they did it. So it was someone that was in this taking of the city, and God knew who it was. Okay, that's another thing that we need to come to understanding that you can't hide from God.
Amen.
You just can't hide from God. He knows. He says, for they have even taken of the accused thing and also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Ooh.
I just hide it in here.
Anymore. Yeah. If I just take it, my tent, dig a little hole, put it in the ground, it'd be all right. 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. And neither says, will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you. So he says, you remember what I made a vow with you for? He said, you got to take care of this thing, buddy. And he says, up, get up, stand up. Don't be down on the ground groveling around. Get up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accused thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Says, and he's not telling what it is. It's just the accursed thing. Okay. And he says this, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribes which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the families which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. Because God knew who it was anyway. Joshua didn't. And it shall be that he is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all he hath. Because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he had wrought folly in Israel. So the sentence has already been proclaimed. It just hadn't been, the finger hadn't been pointed at the accused one or the one that was guilty. And he hadn't made a confession. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cut and dry at this point. But now my 15 says, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So even in tribal things, even the tribe has to stand until it's brought down to an individual. So the tribe of Judah was picked out from the rest of the tribes, and I guess they assembled themselves together in that situation. It says in 17, he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zarahite, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. So he was the oldest of the one. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. So they boiled it down to one family. Not just one man now, but the one family.
I wonder if they were doing this by the Urim and the Thummim.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah. Okay. And verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord and God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. So, see, Joshua, they've got down and pointed the finger now. And so Joshua tells this young man, says, okay, confess this before God and tell me what you've done.
I think he's failed the polygraph.
Yeah. And, it's, the sentence has already been made here. So remember that. Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw the spoils, a godly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver is under it. And I think the Babylonian garment was probably the biggest part of that coveting there, because he had probably never seen a Babylonian undergarment, and it was probably feminine, but we're just supposing here. But that would be something that somebody, a young man in an army, might take. It had been in the wilderness for 40 years. And it said, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, there was hid in the tent. It was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. So they, the Lord wanted to make an example of this. And he says, we can't fight anymore unless this is taken care of. Okay. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they bought him, they brought him into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. The him and the them has been added after they had stoned with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley, not of Achan, but of Achor, until this day. And so they were stoned with stones, and then the wood was cut, put on them, and they were burnt with the wood into ashes. And their fate was just that. And so that gives the opportunity for the Israelites to go on and to fight other battles. But it all didn't really turn out the way it should have anyway, because they disobeyed God in other ways, in other places. But these young men that were fighting these battles, they had seen their ancestors die in the wilderness. because most of these were young people. They were doing the fighting. Now, old people, they don't put old people in the battle generally. And so they murmured against God while they were in the wilderness and did all these things. Didn't like the food and the water and all the things that went along with that. Although their clothes didn't disintegrate, their shoes and all was just as good as it was when they went in there. God had provided that for them, but here they are. Now fight another battle. So that probably got this young man's, because when the walls of Jericho fell on the seventh day of marching around it, they blew the trumpet and shouted. And Jericho imploded. You know, we see these people going out now and doing all these buildings. It's among other buildings in town and all. And they can send dynamite stuff in there and implode a building and it'll fall in on itself. Well, that's exactly what Jericho did. But now, Joshua seen this man standing there with a sword in his hand before, on that last day anyway. And he asked that man standing with his sword or said, are you for us or are you with them? Yeah. And he says, I am a captain of the host of God sent here. And so these hosts could not be seen by the people. But yet, when they marched around and they did exactly what God wanted them to do, it took place, except Rahab's part of the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they carried her up and put her on the other side of Jordan along with her family. And they put her in safety. Guess what? It had the red string around that part of the wall.
That's how they knew it was
her. The crimson cord.
Yep.
And she got
salvation.
She got away. Yep. Only her and her family was the only ones out of that whole city that got away. The rest of them was. I don't know how high the walls were, but I guess they probably didn't have a very hard time of fighting that one, because I think if you was in an implosion, there ain't many buildings that falls in on itself where there's
it comes out.
Somebody that makes it out.
Yeah.
So I think that's is a good lesson for all of us. Two things. God can choose somebody else to take the place of one that he has chosen to do this, to do his work. And when Moses was done, God wouldn't let him go into the promised land because of some of his actions.
Yes.
And he got Joshua to go. Well, when Christ come and Christ stayed here and preached for 3 years after he got to be 30 years old, he couldn't tell about the mystery truth because it wasn't time for that to happen yet. And so God looked around and said, well, there's one over here causing a lot of havoc. He said, I think I can change him. And that was the Apostle Paul. And he gave him this mystery truth that we had, where we understand and realize that the finished work of him is what we're tied to. And that Israel has been set aside. And so You know, if 1,000 days with the Lord is, and 1 day is like 1,000 years, we about used up our two days. Because this was AD 60 when Paul was writing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 60 to maybe AD 67 or 8 when these last seven books was put forth with the mystery truth thing. So, you know, 2,000 years down the road, we're 221 now. So, seems like all that's kind of boiling down toward an end time somewhere down the road.
Yep.
And, we need to give that understanding of some thought for sure. And so these things that we have the examples of are tested and tried and true. And that's the way God works. And if he works that way, then we need to work within his parameters because he is the owner. His son paid the price for our sins. And so here we are. We need to take the place of Paul. We need to all be ambassadors for the word of God and spread the word out because, you know, we never know that the person, next person we might talk to tell them this truth may be the one that becomes pleroma that fills up the body of Christ.
Amen.
We don't know. I have no idea. And so that's a thought to think of. So thank you for your time. I hope you got a little something out of that. I enjoyed trying to get it worked up today. And thank you for listening to me.